name this morning. How many of you guys know the story of Jericho, right? The walls that come down. I'm thankful that we have a talented worship team, that we have a talented worship leader. And I was like, Jason, you know that song Jericho? Jericho walls got to come down, come down. I was like, think you can learn that for Sunday? This is like 2 days ago. And he's like, I can try. And I was like, it'd go great with the sermon, but I told him I was just kidding, don't worry about it. So maybe he'll sing it, maybe he won't, probably not. But I thought it would go well, and I think about that. I hear that song, and I think about those walls that had to come down. And when you read through Hebrews and you read about these things that happen by faith, there's a lot of things that happen by faith, and it talks about a man or a woman or maybe a group of people and something that they did by faith. And when we look at verse 30, it talks about the walls. It says that by faith, somebody say by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. What happened by faith? The walls fell. The walls fell by faith. See, the key here in this one is he's talking about the walls. What happened to the walls? What was faith doing that it caused these walls to fall? And when we think about the fall of Jericho, Jericho was a big deal, right? God had promised the Israelites the promised land. He said, the land is yours, you can have it. He makes a way for them to cross the Jordan, which is a miraculous thing by itself, but he says, the promised land is yours. It's yours. It's yours. You can have it, but there's one problem, right? The enemy still lives in the land. They got work to do when they get into the promised land, that they're going to have to begin to conquer these cities, these towns. So the land was theirs. It belonged to Israel, but there was work to be done. And this first obstacle was Jericho. They see this city of Jericho, this city that had these walls. And when we picture walls, church, we're not talking about walls like what we have right here. We're talking about something massive, something really that can't be penetrated. It was actually a double wall. There's two walls that went around it. The outer wall was 6 foot thick, okay? Just the outer wall. The inner wall was 12 feet thick. Okay, so you had 18 feet of wall in thickness, and a lot of the historical writings talk about there's multiple layers of this wall as it built up, but it could have been as high as 45 feet high. Okay, so if you're talking about a wall that is 12 foot thick and possibly 45 feet high, to me that's a structure, right? That's a building. Like if you were to hollow that out, people could live in that thing. This is the wall that we're talking about. On top of that, this city was built where it was sloped all the way around, and around the city were old walls laying on those slopes. See, Jericho had been destroyed and rebuilt many times prior to this. So not only do you have these big, thick walls that are built up, but all around it is sloped and it's rubble all around, the old walls. It's hard to get to Jericho, to get to the walls and to penetrate those walls, because every time it was rebuilt, it was done bigger and stronger, and at this point, it's a pretty secure place to be. This is the kind of place that if you're going to attack it, you need military strategy, right? You got to have a great plan. You have to have great minds that think about, well, how do we possibly get through? And these walls fell. But it says that they didn't fall because of a military strategy. They fell by faith. Joshua 6, verse 1 is where we find this account. It says that, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of your men of war, you shall march around the city once. You shall do it for 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear it, the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. They approach this great city, right? This city that is built like a fortress. It's big. It's secure. Quite frankly, it's impossible for man to really overcome, and there's really no way to move forward with the mission that God has sent them on until they overtake Jericho. God said it was theirs. That's where it starts. God said it was theirs. And so if you imagine standing there looking at Jericho and thinking, how are we going to do this? It starts with the fact that God told them it was theirs. He said, you can have it. He said, I've given it into your hand. He gave them this battle strategy that would not have made sense to an army commander. He said, you march around it once a day for 6 days. How many of you guys are ready to do that? Let's march around St. Alma once a day for 6 days. Let's march with the Ark of the Covenant. Let's put seven priests in front of the Ark. On the seventh day, we're going to march around seven times. Who's ready to go around St. Alma seven times next Sunday? Josh, probably just Josh. That's it. He's the only one that's ready to do that. He'll bike three times and swim twice and run twice or something. But it says that on the seventh day, you'll have the priests blow the ram's horns. And as they blow these ram's horns and the people shout, it says the walls will come down and you will enter the city and you will conquer the city. When you consider these orders, when you consider this battle plan and what they are facing, to me, it seems like a pretty bad plan to take down walls that are 18 feet thick and 45 feet high with rubble laying all around. It seems like a bad plan. Let's march around. Let's blow some horns. Let's shout. I mean, to me, this sounds more like what you'd see happen at like a Vandalia or Effingham high school football game, right? Some marching and some trumpets and some shouting, and yet this is the plan that God gives them. I mean, if you think about an army commander ready to overtake a city, I imagine if you gave him this idea, he would probably laugh you straight out of the room. That will never work. There's no way that that's going to make those walls come down. And on top of that, why would you walk around day after day letting the enemy know that you're out there? Why would you blow those horns, letting the enemy hear you and know where you are at? I mean, they could just climb the walls and begin to shoot you one by one, couldn't they? Begin to pick you off as you're going around. But what did God say? He said in Joshua 2, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, the king and the mighty men of valor. He's given it all. It says, I have given. Not I'm going to give when you get there. He says, I have given. It's already been done. The victory was already theirs. All they had to do was go and do what God had said by faith. The enemy had been defeated. They just didn't know it. Church, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like that sounds very familiar to me. Because our enemy has already been defeated. He just kind of acts like he doesn't know it. But he's already been defeated. God says, I have already given. And this is where we are, church, at many times in our lives, where we face these things that look huge, impossible, imposing, like, wow, that is really something, this thing that is in my way, and it's going to be hard to overcome. But there's one question that we need to ask ourselves. We need to say, what did God say? What did he say? Because it doesn't matter what I see, it matters what he said. Because what he said is true, amen? What he said will come to pass. What he said is what I will trust in and hope in and wait for. Colossians 2:15, one of my favorite verses, it says that he disarmed, Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. Jesus has already won. He's already disgraced the enemy. He's already disarmed the enemy. I don't know about you, but if I got to go and fight somebody and they don't have any weapons that can harm me, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances. And this is what we have in Christ Jesus. The enemy has been disarmed. Romans 16:20 says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Somebody say shortly. That means soon. That means it's going to happen not just someday, somehow, one of these times. It's shortly. It's right around the corner. It's coming soon. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The enemy has been defeated. Jesus has triumphed over the devil, and he will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Very soon, whatever you're facing, trust me, church, Jesus is greater. He's greater. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I know that he's already won. I know that he's already got the victory. I've heard that. I've read that. I've been told that over and over. But when I'm looking at the walls that I'm facing, sometimes I wonder, well, where exactly is he? Right? Where is he at? I mean, you won the victory, but where's your presence? And there's this key detail about this story in Jericho. There's this key victory piece here that's often overlooked in the story of Jericho, and it was in Joshua 6, verse 4. He talks about the priests. It says, "And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." The priests. They were right in the middle. What did it say that they marched in front of? The ark. Not Noah's ark. That would have been too big. It wasn't built yet. It was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was placed right in the middle of the people. And as they marched through here, this Ark of the Covenant, which was more than just a piece of furniture, it wasn't just a thing that God told them to carry just for the sake of having it there, but the Ark of the Covenant was the place where the presence of the Lord came down. The Ark of the Covenant was the place where the presence came. It represented that his presence was not only with the people, but he was right smack in the middle of it all. He was in their midst, not in the middle of the camp where they were at, not just in the middle of their mealtime and their fellowship and while they were talking about him, not just in the middle of their time of worship, but it says that he was in the middle of their marching. As they were doing what he said to do, he was right there with them, right in the middle, at the center of it all. And that's true for me and for you today. That Jesus is right here in the middle of it all. He's right in the middle of it all. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he gave us the great commission. He ends this up with saying, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Then in Matthew 18, he's talking about what we can have when we come together in the name of Jesus. He says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there also in their midst." Jesus puts himself right in the middle of the battle plan. He's right in the middle of the battle plan. And see, the military strategy of man does not matter when God is in the middle. When God is in the middle, it doesn't matter what man has schemed around it. It doesn't matter what the enemy's scheme against you is, what man's scheme against you is, how they plan to defeat you does not matter when God is in the middle of your battle plan. It doesn't matter. They can't prevent you from taking what God has said is yours. They can't do it. Can't do it no matter what. Do you know these people of Jericho? Do you know what they did when Israel showed up? We read it in verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho is securely shut up because of" why? "The children of Israel." Because of the children of Israel, Jericho, it says that none went out and none came in. Church, this was before they started marching. As soon as the people of God even showed up on the scene, Jericho shut their doors, closed their bridges, went on lockdown and was like, nobody's going out and nobody is coming in. The enemy tried to shut themselves in. They fortified the city. They tried to keep Israel from taking what God said they could have, what was already theirs. And I don't know if you know this or not, but once God gets involved, Jericho had already lost it all. Before they closed the door, before they saw Israel coming and marching up the hill, before anything that they saw, they had already lost because God was right smack in the middle of it all. Robert Morrison, who is a missionary to China, he was the first Protestant missionary to go to China. He said this, he was asked, what do you think you're going to do, Robert? You think you're going to convert China? And Robert's response was, no. He said, I don't think that I will convert China, but I think God will. See, he knew that it wasn't just his going, it was who was in the center of his plan. And he knew that if God's in the center of my plan, I know that he will convert China. I know that he will work in China. And I know for you and me, looking at China right now, we might be thinking, well, what has God been doing? Church, God's doing amazing things in China. You know what? Our news just refuses to cover it. Our news refuses to cover it, but God is doing amazing things in China. The fastest growing church in the world is in China. And it's mostly underground, it's mostly behind closed doors, but hallelujah, it's the fastest growing church in the world. And before long, it's going to overtake China. I'm believing for that. I'm believing that a communist nation is getting ready to be taken over by the church. It's going to happen. It's what's going on in China. Amazing things. And this is the same faith that Robert Morrison had. The same faith is the faith that took down the walls of Jericho. And by faith, we can take down the walls that are in our lives that separate us from the things that God has said that we can have. So what do we do? Because in reality, isn't this just about Jesus? Isn't it about him? Isn't it about his promises? Isn't it about his presence? Isn't it about his power? It's really about him. What is he doing? Well, he's already done his part. You got to remember what the Israelites did. They marched. And not only did they march, but they marched day after day after day. 2 Corinthians 5:7, very familiar verse, says that we walk by faith and not by sight. When you consider a verse like this, that we walk by faith, right? How many of you guys walk by faith? I hope we're at least trying to walk by faith, right? But I want to tell you something. I think that the Israelites marching around Jericho is really symbolic for something that we need to do in our faith life, because when you consider what it means to march, right? I mean, marching isn't just walking around, right? I mean, there's a little bit of strategy to marching. You guys ever seen like the military march? It's amazing. It's cool stuff to watch them in sync and what they're doing, but marching means to walk with regular and measured steps. Regular and measured steps. It means that it's planned out. It means that there is purpose. It means that what I'm doing is intentional and deliberate, that there's some kind of plan to what I am doing. And church, if you want to break through by faith, listen, we already have the promises. We already have the presence. We already have the power. So what's missing? Oftentimes, what's missing is we have to get to marching. We have to get to taking calculated steps that are purpose-driven, that are measured steps, that are going somewhere, that are doing something, and we have to go out and do that day by day, moment by moment, continuing when nothing seems to change, even when it seems like it's not working. What do you think it was like day 3, walking around the city of Jericho? What do you think it was like? Who was the complainer? Go ahead. Raise your hand if you were the complainer. It's probably me. I was probably in the back like, are you serious? I don't like walking. Pastor Tim doesn't like two things. There's a lot of things I don't like. I don't like liars. You guys have heard me say that, so I'm going to get it out there. He doesn't like walking and he doesn't like reading. Okay? Get me in a car and show me the movie. That's where I'm at. I don't like walking. I don't like reading. Now, I make myself do both because they're both good for me. They're both necessary. But I would not like walking around day after day and not seeing a change, not seeing a breakthrough, not seeing anything that seems to be fruitful or beneficial for my walking. But these men, these women, they continued to walk, even when it wasn't working. Because why? They were marching. They were in a deliberate manner. God has told us to do this, right? That's all that they knew. That's all that mattered. God said. God said we could have it. God said that it's mine. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter. I'm walking by faith because this is intentional and deliberate, and it's gonna do something. I don't know when. I don't know how, but it was faith on a mission. That complete trust, that complete confidence in God, the people of Israel and the people of Jericho were trapped inside, afraid to come out with all of their armor, with all of their weapons. It says in Joshua 6, verse 20, that on that seventh day, the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened that when the people heard the trumpet sound, and all the people shouted with that great shout, that the wall fell down flat. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Church, our God is awesome. He is powerful. He can do all things, and he could have just made that wall fall down. Right? He could have just been like, guys, stand back, watch this, and he could have made it all fall, and he could have said, go get him, right? He could have said, just hang out at the camp, and I'll send you some kind of sign when it's ready to go. I'll knock the walls down. I'll overthrow the enemy. You can just go on through. But that's not what he did, because for some reason, God chooses to work through people. For some reason, he chooses to work through us, and he responds to our obedience. He tells us to do something, and when we do it, then he responds back to us. And when we see these people in Israel, it was these people, the people of God, by faith, followed the commands of God, and that's when the walls fell. It was by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were encircled for 7 days. It was by faith, but church, it wasn't just a faith of believing. It was an active faith. It was a faith that does something. It was a faith that believes and then acts on that belief. It was faith that does what God says. Faith that does what God says. Church, I know there's times where we are looking at something and I'm like, I'm trying to look at it through the lens of faith, but at the same time, I'm having some struggles, right? I'm having some doubts. I'm having some fears, some concerns that I know that's what God says, but man, it sure doesn't seem like it. If you remember at the beginning of the series, I shared a quote that said that faith is belief plus unbelief and acting on the belief part. See, there's times where we think that if I gotta believe something 100% full in, to have full faith before it's going to make a difference. I want to compare that to something. How many of you have done this, or you know somebody that has? I'll start going to church when I get my life completely figured out. Right? I was one of those people. When I get it all together, when I get it all figured out, then I will go. Well, listen, if we wait for that moment, it will never come. Right? On our own, we're never just going to get it all figured out. We're never just going to be all there, all perfect, everything all worked out. And the thing is, we tell people, come as you are, right? However you are, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. Come as you are, bring what you have, and get what you need from Jesus. That's what we tell people. I'm going to tell you the same thing applies to your faith. We got to start with that belief that I do have faith in Christ. I do believe in Jesus. I do have, he's my Savior, he's my Lord. I believe that he can do anything. I believe that he can do anything. See, we try to get ourselves to this place where I believe that he will do anything. That's not where you got to start at. You just got to start with, I believe that he can. I believe that he can. And there, I tell you what, there's nothing that I don't believe that my God can't do. Right? I believe he could do anything. And so if we can start with that, I believe that he can do anything. Then we get to this point, this question of, okay, now do I believe that he will do that for me? Do I believe that he will do that for me? Do I believe that he will do that for my spouse or my friend or my neighbor or my coworker? I believe that he can, but do I believe that he will? Go back to, do you believe that he can? When you believe that he can, you got two choices, okay? I believe that he can, I'm not sure that he will. You got two choices. You can act on the unbelief, I'm not sure that he will. What do you think you're going to get from that? I'm not sure that he will. I'm not sure that he will. As you dwell on the negative, you begin to worry about that and think about that. If you act on the unbelief, you may never receive what God has said that you can have. I said may. You may never receive what God says that you can have if you're acting on the unbelief. The walls might remain, right? The breakthrough might not come, but it's still yours. It's still promised. It's still there. Something's just going to have to change, because I'll tell you, church, that God is never the problem. Right? He's never the problem. He's always the solution. So if we can act on the belief that I know that he can, if we can focus on that, if we can dwell on that, meditate on, I know that he can, in spite of how I feel, in spite of what is in front of me, I know that if I do what he said, moment by moment, day by day, I know that a breakthrough will come by faith. Amen? It will come by faith. But you've got to act on the belief, the fact that you know that he can. In these moments, church, we've got to continue to look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Somebody say finisher. It's important that we know that faith doesn't just come from Christ, but we need to know that he's the finisher of our faith. He's the one that brings everything that we believe for to a place of completion. It says that he, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author of our faith, but he's also the finisher of our faith. He started it. Church, he's the reason you believe for it in the first place. It's because of him. He's the reason you believe. But I want to tell you this morning that he's also the finisher. That means he's the reason that you receive what you believe for. It's still because of him. These walls of Jericho, they fell because God said they could have what was on the other side of that wall. God told them they could have what was on the other side of that wall. That means there had to be an entry point. There had to be a way in. There had to be a way to get to what God says that you can have. There's always a way to get to it. God's promises today for us are just as certain as they were for Israel in that day, in that moment. It's just as certain. It doesn't matter what the walls look like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The promises are just as true. God's promises for me and you are exceedingly great. Amen? And the Spirit of God testifies to the truth of God to each and every one of our hearts. The Spirit of God testifies of those things. Jesus died on a cross so that we could have life in him, right? He's given us the victory. It's already ours. And this morning, as I was praying over this ending today, I saw a picture, right? And as we see walls, right? You picture Jericho. Picture what God said you could have, and it has this wall around it. where we see the walls, what it is right now, what's separating us right now, God sees what he said. We see what there is, he sees what he said, and where we see walls, he already sees rubble. He already sees it torn down. Where we see that's impossible, that can never be breached, it can never be penetrated, we could never get through that, when we see the impossible, church, he sees that it is already done. It's already accessible. It's already obtainable through Christ Jesus. Amen. If you guys would stand to your feet this morning. We've got some promises of God, some things in the Word that God says that we can have. So if you would close your eyes and just listen to these things this morning, I want you to consider, what is the thing that God is speaking to me? What is the thing that he says that I can have, that I know that I need? And it's like there's a wall of separation between me and that thing, that I need that wall to come tumbling down. What is that thing that he says I can have? First of all, it all stands on the fact that God can. You got to know that he can, and you got to know that he wants to, because God says that he loves you deeply no matter what. He says that he designed you for a purpose in this life. His word tells us that God gives you power for your life. That's a promise of God. That's something that he says you can have, is power for your life. If you feel powerless today, we're going to tear down those walls, and you're going to get that power that he has promised for you today. It says that his presence brings joy. That means that's something that you can have. You may say, I feel God's presence, but I feel like I'm missing the joy many times in my life. Listen, if there's walls around that joy, today is the day, church, that you can have what he said you can have, and you're going to receive that joy today. It says that God will fill me to overflowing with hope. If you feel hopeless, if you feel down, if you feel that despair, that today is that day that you're going to access that hope that he says is there for you. It's yours. You can have it if you want it. You just have to go and get it. It says that God will give you wisdom. Church, you may be facing something in your life, some decisions, some things that you're like, I just don't know what to do. I wish that God would show me the way. Listen, church, the word says that wisdom is yours. That it's there, it's accessible. You just have to ask for it. And if there's some kind of wall around that today we're going to tear that down by faith and access that wisdom from heaven. God says that your healing has already been paid for. I know this is a big one. I know that this is one that I get many, many questions about. And I'm just telling you this morning that what I know is God said you can have it. I don't know why sometimes we don't get it. I don't know why God does what he does or doesn't do what he doesn't do. But what I do know is I'm trusting that belief part, that I believe what God can do, and I'm listening to what God said. And what he said was that healing has already been paid for. In 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes you were healed. It's already been paid for. It's yours today, church. It belongs to you. It's a promise of God. I'm believing that God can comfort you in your trials because he says that he can. That comfort is there. It's yours. You can have it if you need it today. I believe that he'll supply for every need in your life, according to Philippians 4:19. If you have a need in your life, he supplies it. It's there for you. It's a promise. It is yours. You might just have to go get it. And greatest of all, I believe that he saves every single person that believes in Jesus. And if you need that today, church, listen to me. It says that it's yours if you want it. It's yours, you can have it. And whatever's separating you from getting it today, today's the day to tear those walls down. To say, it's mine, I'm coming to claim it. I'm coming to get it. Jericho walls gotta come down. God said you can have it. You got to know that the enemy's been defeated. Jesus is in the middle of it all. And if the enemy tries to keep you from taking what's yours, church, it's time to march. It's time for us to begin to step deliberately with a plan, intentionally, God is at work. We got to believe that the walls will fail. That if God said he will do it, then he'll do it. If he says it's ours, then it's ours. And it's time to march. It's time to move. It's time to work until that breakthrough comes through. And it's all got to be by faith. Do you believe that he can? Do you believe that he can this morning? If you believe that he can, then you got to say, Lord, I'm trusting that you will. I'm gonna act on the belief that you can, not the unbelief that I'm not sure if you will. It doesn't matter if you think that he will. Do you believe that he can? What he says is yours. It's yours. It doesn't matter if the walls around it belongs to you. And today's the day that we're going to see those walls come crashing down, that we're going to access the promises of God, the yes and amens for our lives, the things that he has purposed for each one of us. And so, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for every single heart in this place. Lord, you know what our needs are. You know what those promises are that we're believing for, that we feel separated from, that maybe we've tried to access time and time again, that maybe there's too many times we've acted on the unbelief that I'm not sure if you will. Lord, today's the day we choose to act on the belief that we know that you can, and we trust you with it, Lord. We trust you entirely. We know that you can. We know it's your desire. We know that if your promise is for us, then it's ours to be had. And so I pray that today, by faith, that we begin to take those steps. Every one of us takes those steps around this place, that we do what you've called us to do, that we would march, that we would live with intentionality, that we would walk by faith truly in a way that we're believing that, God, if we don't see it, that you're working. That we believe, God, that if we are doing what you called us to do, that you're going to come through, and it's going to be shortly. And so, God, I just pray that be released upon each and every person in this place right here as we get ready to worship. God, your word tells us that you are worthy of our praise. And as we lift high the name of Jesus in this place, Lord, we pray you be faithful to your word, that you draw all men to yourself. And that as you draw us to yourself, that our faith in you would be greater. Lord, and that by faith, the walls would begin to come down. And we just release that all to you right now and ask you to have your way as we worship, as we lift your name in Jesus' name.